We work on the mask and after that.
Everybody, can I ask you to stand up with us? Thank you for being here on time. I really appreciate that. As I'm sure you know, on Thursday we celebrate Thanksgiving. Thursday is Thanksgiving, right? And so here's what God's Word tells us in Psalm 100. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. How must we come into the presence of God? With singing. It says, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with Thanksgiving. Now, Thanksgiving isn't something that we celebrate just once a year. Thanksgiving is a continual attitude that we should live with, where we continually are thankful to God for His goodness in our life. The Bible says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. And His mercy is everlasting. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Lord, You are good today. We thank You for Your mercy toward us. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You, Lord, that even when we are faithless, You remain faithful. You cannot deny Yourself. Lord, we come into Your presence with singing. We come into Your gates with thanksgiving. We come into Your courts with praise. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for Your blessings in our life. We thank You for Your protection. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for salvation. We come before You, Lord, with thanksgiving in our heart. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, I thank You that You are good. Your mercy endures forever. Say, I come before You with praise. I come before You with singing. Come on, church, we're going to give Him praise today. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give Him a shout today. Hallelujah. Lord, we praise
Jesus, see by the best.
Thank you. today and every day. Your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we gather together as a body of believers. We worship you this morning. We come into your presence with thanksgiving. We enter your courts with praise, for you are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, family. We worship God in this place. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Welcome to church this morning. Thank you for worshiping with us. Why don't you just turn and greet someone, tell them how good they look today. Expecting. We always come to church expecting, right? We come, when, no matter what's going on in our life, when we come to meet with the Lord, we are expectant. We're expectant that He speaks to us. We're expectant that He hears us. We're expectant that He moves in our life. Amen? That's an attitude of faith. You know, I think of the woman with the issue of blood. The Bible says in Mark 5 that she pressed in. She pressed in. And she touched his garment. She said, if I just touch him, I know I'll be healed. It was like she pushed a switch of faith. And that's what we have to do. We have to have us get that switch of faith on and say, Lord, today, speak to me. Today, lead me, guide me. Amen? Anyone got that heart of faith this morning? Praise God. Well, we want to welcome those who are visiting us for the first time. Every week we have visitors with us and we love it. So if you are here for the first time, we don't want to embarrass you. We'd like to just give you a gift bag right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can pass you a gift bag? God bless you. Welcome, welcome. Anyone else? Thank you. Wonderful. Keep on coming. Up here on the second row too. Thank you. Ray, just raise your hand so that they can see you. Thank you. Welcome. So glad you joined us this morning. And in that gift bag is a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve and Ray. There you go. Thank you. Sometimes I see the hands, they don't see. And in there's a white card. We ask you to just take a moment, fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by, and you can just drop that card in. And it gives the pastor an opportunity just to call and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for joining us this morning. Amen. And I just want to mention before we go into the service, you may have noticed, you might be blind if you didn't, but there are a number of huge, beautiful Thanksgiving baskets out front, and we'll tell you more about them afterwards. But we have a sign-in sheet. If you would like to participate and have an opportunity to get one of those Thanksgiving baskets, we're going to pass the clipboard by with that list, and if you'd like to, you say, hey, I could really use that, just put your name down there, and at the end of the service, we'll hand those out.
Yes, we want to thank, would you mind standing up, Brenda, for a second? Brenda Peace works at Futures of Palm Beaches, which is
an addiction recovery
center, just here in Tequesta. And anyway, their staff and their team, they collected all these things for Thanksgiving, and they nominated to give them to our church, to bless our church. I want to thank you for doing that, Brenda, and we really appreciate that. And we were there on Thursday, I think it was, right, Thursday. And so all the things that were outside there are being donated by the Future of Palm Beaches.
And, as well as turkeys.
And we have a few turkeys back there and a couple of turkeys sitting in here, but just joking.
Take that back.
Just joking.
Right now.
But We especially want to bless, of course, people that need it the most.
Right.
And so we're not always aware. We were trying to think about who in the church that we felt, you know, would be needing of this, and we contacted a few people yesterday and the day before. And some people didn't call me back. I called them, you know, I want to bless you. Got a big basket for you. Call me back. They can call me back. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I have a need and I really could do with some help, we would love to be able to bless you. And so when the clipboard comes by, I think Brenda has it now. When the clipboard comes by, what does it say on that clipboard, Brenda?
That's the
sign and
register. No, that's the register.
But where's the one for Thanksgiving?
It'll come by when this one's done, and it says Thanksgiving basket.
Now, we don't want to confuse you. There are two registers going to come by. One of them is just to mark that you are here today, our attendance register. The second one will say Thanksgiving basket. If you say, Pastor Steve, I would like to receive that, just put your name on there, and we will then choose from there. We've got, I think, 5 baskets to give away today, right?
Great.
Praise God. Tell your neighbor, I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for God's blessings in my life. Amen. It's good to see you today. So glad you're here. Wonderful to see Juan back there, first time. Friend of ours. And his wife, Denise. Am I right?
Yes.
Did I get it right?
Yes.
I'm so glad I took a chance there. But wonderful to have you here with us today. Wonderful to see Maureen back. We missed you, Maureen. There were a few other folks that I saw that I hadn't. Who else? Kathy. Where's Kathy? Moved back from New York. She was gone 3.5 years in New York. Came back. We're glad to have you back. Anyone else I need to call and... No, Tom, right? No, you, turning around, yes.
Rob,
great to meet you and your wife this morning. First time here today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad you're here today. Tell them, I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. And you should be glad you're sitting next to me. Because I'm a blessing. Right, Jimmy? Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you, Nathan, for being such a blessing to us. I want to get right into the Word of God this morning. Are you ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Did anyone bring their Bible with you to church today? Anyone brought their Bible with you?
Yes.
Hold up your Bible. Wave it around. You got your Bible with you this morning. If you're going to follow on your phone, hold your phone up. All I would say to you is for the next 30 minutes, 40 minutes, whatever, 2 hours... that won't be that long. Let's just forget about everything else. Don't look at Facebook, Instagram, your email. Just forget. Just right now, let the Word of God speak to your heart this morning. Amen? Because this Thursday is Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, today I want to speak about living thankful. Because Thanksgiving is a holiday that here in America we set apart for giving thanks to God. On Thanksgiving, we gather with our family and with our friends and to thank God for the many blessings that He's given us. And we ask God to continue to guide and watch over the United States. Now, our founders thanked the Almighty. They humbly sought His wisdom and His blessing. And may we always live by that same trust. May God continue to watch over and bless the United States. A lot of people don't realize what Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving holiday, is all about. The first Thanksgiving in America took place in 1621. That was when the pilgrims and the natives held their 3-day celebration to thank God for their survival and for the harvest. A lot of people don't know that, you know, the pilgrims that came over from England, right? That they actually left England to escape religious persecution. They came here for religious freedom. This nation was founded by believers. This nation was founded by Christians. The foundation of this nation is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in 1789, the first president, George Washington, he proclaimed the first National Day of Thanksgiving. And this is a speech that he gave on October 3rd, 1789. I'll read it to you. Maybe it'll come up on the screen. He said this: "Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly to implore His protection and favor, and whereas both houses of Congress have, by their joint committee, requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God." He said, "Now therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be." He said, everything good comes from God. He said, "That we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech Him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us, whether in public or in private, to perform our civil and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially such as have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good governments, peace and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and generally to grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as He alone knows to be best." Now, to me it's very evident from that speech what Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving holiday, is all about. And then in 1863, Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president, right? He appointed a national day of Thanksgiving. He declared it to be a federal holiday. And he made the following proclamation. Let me read what Abraham Lincoln said. He said, "The year that is drawing toward its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added which are of so extraordinary a nature that they can not fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever watchful providence of Almighty God. It seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those that are at sea and those that are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Family, that's what Thanksgiving is all about. Amen. Thanksgiving holiday, not only is it a time to gather with family, to gather with friends, but it's a time to offer thanks to God for His blessing. For the blessing of, let me tell you, you're blessed to live in this nation. If you ever travel to any other countries, you'll know what I'm talking about. No matter where I go, and we've been to many countries, I don't know how many. I think I counted up about 25 countries that I've been to. And let me tell you right now, I'm always glad to get back home. The home of the brave. The land of the free. We are blessed to live in this nation. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy, amen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." One of the signs of the last days is unthankfulness. But the Word of God says in Colossians 3:15, always be thankful. You see, thankfulness is not something that we just do once a year on Thanksgiving. But the Bible says we are to always be thankful. We are to live with an attitude of gratitude. We are to live with a thankful heart. In Hebrews 13, verse 15, it says, therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise with our lips, giving thanks unto God. Say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings in my life. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, offer to God thanksgiving. Psalm 69, verse 30 says, I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalm 95, verse 2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, verse 4, I read it earlier this morning. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Let me tell you, one of the main keys to living a happy life, to enjoying your life, is learning how to stay grateful. You've got to learn how to focus on what's right rather than focusing on what's wrong. You've got to be thankful for what you have instead of being frustrated by what you don't have. Because let me tell you, the seeds of discouragement can never take root in a thankful and a grateful heart. I'll say it again. The seeds of this, you cannot be discouraged when you have a thankful and a grateful heart. There is power in thanksgiving. If you're not happy today, if you're feeling a bit down today, or when you're tempted to get discouraged, the quickest way out of that is to stop focusing on what you don't have and start thanking God for what you do have. Find a reason to be grateful. Amen? Find a reason to be grateful. I was talking to Tom before the service today, and he was telling me all about just the things his daughter's been. She's 27. She's been through, since she was a young girl, surgeries and just with her health and issues with health. But praise God, she's doing good now. But we were saying, I said, you know what? Thank. You can be thankful if you're healthy. If you're healthy, be thankful. You know, being grateful will lift you out of depression. It'll lift you out of discouragement. Being grateful can help turn a relationship around. It can save a marriage. It's amazing what happens when you stop focusing on somebody's faults. You stop complaining about what they're doing wrong. And instead you start seeing the good. When you're thankful at the office, when you express gratitude to your employer, let me tell you, that can help save your job during a time of layoffs. It can help you get a promotion. People love to be around grateful people. They are drawn to people who are appreciative and who are thankful. When you get up in the morning, before you turn on the TV, or before you read the newspaper, or before you check Facebook, or you check social media, or think about your problems you've got to face that day, the first thing that you should do when you get up is thank God that you're alive. Thank God that you're healthy. Thank God for your job. Thank God for your family. Thank God for your friends. Family, we need to start the day off with a grateful attitude. You cannot go through the day negative and depressed when you have a spirit of thanksgiving in your heart. It's impossible. It's like oil and water, they don't mix. Well, Pastor Steve, I'd like to do that, but you don't understand. You don't know the problems I have. Or, you know, I've got this old car. Does it even have air conditioning? Or is this so hot? We can't say it's hot outside today, but usually it is. But I've got this problem, I've got that problem. No, be grateful for what you do have. Let me tell you, some people would love to have your car. Well, if I had more money, I'd be more happy. You've got to change your perspective. You may not have all the money that you'd like, but if you have your health, let me tell you, that is worth a lot. It's really priceless. I heard about a man, one of the wealthiest men in the United States. He's worth over $1 billion, but he doesn't have his health. He doesn't have good health. He spent years going to hospitals trying to get treatments. Do you know how much he would give to be healthy? He'd give it all to be healthy. You may not have everything you'd like, but you've got to keep it in perspective. If you have your health, you're extremely wealthy. You've got something that $1 billion cannot buy. Don't take for granted you were able to get up out of bed this morning without anybody assisting you. When you opened your eyes, you were able to see. When you told your legs to walk, they obeyed. When you went to the kitchen, you had food to eat. Be thankful you can breathe without a problem. If you see a homeless person, pray for them. And then thank God that you have a home. If you see someone in a wheelchair, bless them. Then thank God that you're able to walk. If you're in a wheelchair and you can't walk, Thank God that you can see. You may not have legs, but you can thank God that you have arms. Find some reason to be grateful is what I'm saying. Do you have a hard time getting to sleep tonight? Instead of lying there frustrated in your bed, think about all the people that don't have a bed. You get stuck in traffic tomorrow, instead of getting upset, say be thankful you have a car, you got somewhere to go. Yeah. Maybe you have a tough day at the office next week, instead of letting it ruin your week, be thankful that you have a job. Yeah. Someone is mean and spiteful to you, they're jealous, they're angry, it could be worse. You could be them, be thankful you're not like them. Yeah. We can all find some reason to give thanks. And let me tell you, being grateful is the key to living a happy life. Tell your neighbor, being grateful is the key to being happy. You see, because family, our circumstances are up and down. People don't always do what is right. Disappointments come. It's just a part of life. But if we can train ourselves to always see the good and always find some reason to be thankful, then we are going to live our lives much happier. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5 verse 18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Say, it is God's will for me to give thanks in everything. The New Living Bible says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, notice, it didn't say give thanks to God for everything. It said give thanks to God in everything. Because some people have misquoted that scripture to me. And they said, well, you see, you're going to give thanks to God for everything. So if you get diagnosed with cancer, thank God for the cancer. If your business goes bankrupt, thank God that it went bankrupt. No, it doesn't say thank God for everything. It says thank God in everything. In other words, Lord, in spite of what happened, I'm going to be thankful. I'm not going to focus on what is wrong. I'm going to find something positive in my life. I might be sick, but I'm going to thank you for my family. I might be struggling at my job, but I want to thank you that I have a job. See, we all have difficult situations, but we've got to discipline ourselves not to stay focused on the negative, because that's where your mind naturally wants to go, to the negative. The fact is, there are some things in life we cannot change. We can't change people. We can't make people do what is right. And if you're constantly trying, it's just going to frustrate you. But if you turn that situation over to God, you do your part and you trust God to do His part, don't allow it to keep stealing your joy. When I'm tempted to get down and discouraged, you know what I've learned? I've got to get my mind off my problems. I've got to stop focusing on what's wrong in my life. And I've got to stop focusing on what I don't have. And I've got to find a reason to be thankful. I've got to look at what is right, not what is wrong. I find that really helps me to live my life happy, is to be thankful and to be grateful for what I do have. Every day is a gift from God. Once it's gone, you can never get it back. How are you going to choose to live that day? Happy, thankful, enthusiastic, or negative, discouraged, focused on your problems, what you don't have, who hurt you? Listen, you've got to get away from that junk and find a reason to be thankful. Too often, we're grateful for something, we're not grateful for something until it's taken away. And when we get it back, we have a new appreciation. It changes our whole perspective. Don't take your health for granted. Don't take your job for granted. Don't take the people in your life for granted. Husbands, don't take your wife for granted. And all the wives said,
amen.
Realize she's a gift that God has given you. Quit being critical and continually finding fault, complaining about what she's doing wrong. Start being thankful that you have somebody to love. Focus on what she's doing right rather than what she's doing wrong. You've got to learn to overlook some things. You've got to realize, how many of you know everybody has weaknesses? How many of you know nobody's perfect? When you're tempted to be critical of your wife's faults, remember, it was those faults that kept her from getting a better husband. We all have room to improve, right? Let's focus on the good. Too many people, they're just enduring their marriage because they let all these little things build up and then they end up getting resentful. Before long, they're hard to get along with. They're at odds. They're arguing. But you've got to change your perspective. I challenge you to find something good, one good quality about your spouse, and then magnify that. Your husband may not be the most romantic man in the world. When Pastor Bev, our pastors, Pastor Bev and Theo, Pastor Theo and Bev, she says when she married Pastor Theo, she used to call him Dr. Spock. Because he didn't show his emotions, so she called him Dr. Spock. Now he's changed a lot now. But let me tell you, maybe your husband's not the most romantic man. He may not be the best communicator, but maybe he's a hard worker. He provides a good living. You never have to worry about your bills. Start telling him, I appreciate that you're such a great provider. See, you see, if you magnify the good, not only will you be happier, but you'll see him rise higher in other areas of his life. Praise is a motivation. Isn't that right? Isn't that how you train a puppy dog? They tell me you've got to praise the puppy dog when he does something good. Pees outside. Great job, puppy dog. You're giving praise. Maybe your husband doesn't come to church with you. You've tried, but he's just not interested. Listen, don't nag him. Just love him. Many times ladies are trying to shove scripture down their husband's throat. They're always preaching to him, always telling him what he's doing wrong. A better approach is to be his best friend. Be fun to be around. That'll draw him in quicker than in any of that other stuff will. You can't change him. You can just pray for him, love him, and be a good example, and let God do the rest. The Bible talks about a woman. It talks about wives. You can win your husband without a word. Just by letting him see the Jesus in you. Letting him see the love of God. Being the best wife you can be. And all the ladies said, amen. Don't use the excuse, well, Pastor Steve, I don't have to treat my husband good. If he doesn't come to church, he's not as spiritual as me. Listen, we all have a responsibility to treat our spouse with respect and with honor. Don't take them for granted. Life is very short. That other person may not always be here. Have you told them lately? How does the song go? Have I told you lately that I love you? Have you hugged your husband? Have you kissed your wife? Oh no, we're at odds. We're mad at each other. We're arguing. She did this, he did that. What if you found out that you only had a few weeks to live? How long would you stay upset? Or what if you found out they were only going to be here another month? How would you treat them? We need to live each day as if it could be our last day. Amen.
Amen.
What's that song? I went skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 3.7 seconds on a full man chew. I love deeper and I forgave. I mean, that's a great song. It's talking about somebody. Who was it written by? Who wrote that song?
Tim McGraw.
I think it's talking about someone who found out they were ill or their dad was dying, and it just changed the whole way that they their whole perspective. You see, Moses. How many of you ever heard of Moses? One, two. I really need to do a better job of teaching in this church. Moses wrote this in Psalm 90, verse 12. He said, teach us to number our days. What is he saying? Teach us to number our days. He's saying, God, help me to remember that every day is a gift from you. Help me to be kind to the people in my life. Help me to focus on the good. Help me not to take things for granted. Lord, teach us to number our days. We forget how fragile life is. Often we wait for Thanksgiving to give thanks. We wait for Christmas to give gifts. We wait for Valentine's Day to express our love. We say to ourselves, well, today's just an ordinary day. And we wait. And while we wait, the clock is ticking. Precious moments are ticking by every day, family. In reality, there is no such thing as an ordinary day. Every day is a gift, family. It's unique. It's irreplaceable. Its hours can be used or they can be misused. They can be invested or they can be wasted. God, teach us to number our days. What are you focused on today? Are you focused on what's right or are you focused on what is wrong? Is there peace in your home, in your life? Are you happy? Are you at rest? Are you enjoying your life? Realize this day is special. It's not ordinary. We must make the most of every day. We need to learn to live like today could be our last day, family. Yeah. Don't live it complaining, negative, holding grudges. Well, they did me wrong. I'm not talking to them. Some people go years, never talk to their family. You've got to be the bigger person. They may be at fault, but swallow your pride and make things right. Family, do you know how many people live in regret? Do you know how many people say, if I could just tell them how much I really love them? If only I had another chance. Life is very fragile. We've got to number our days. We've got to realize that the people in our life are not going to be here forever, family. Have you told your parents lately that you love them? Have you told your spouse? Have you told your children how great it is to have them in your life? Do it often. I know sometimes we face difficulties and sometimes it's hard to stay thankful and positive, but the alternative is you come to the end of your life and you have to say, I spent most of my life depressed, negative, upset. Instead, let's develop a new mindset. Things may not be perfect in your life, but this is the day that the Lord has made. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. You need to make that a habit. Say, this is the day that the Lord, say it with me. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. You see, there is nothing that you're going through that God is not aware of. There is no situation in your life that is too difficult for Him. But you see, God works with this attitude of faith. You've got to give Him something to work with. You've got to be thankful no matter what. You've got to choose. Do you know being thankful is a choice? I said it's a choice. Psalm 116, verse 17, David said, I will offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In Psalm 50 verse 23, it says, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. The Bible says that giving thanks is a sacrifice that honors God. It's pleasing to Him. The Hebrew word for thanksgiving is the word todah, and it means a sacrifice of praise. It means an extension of the hand and giving a sacrifice of praise. Some of you, you're focusing on what you lost, but you need to be thankful for what you have left. You might have lost a lot, but if God hadn't intervened, you could have lost it all. You've got to shake off the self-pity, shake off the discouragement, and find a reason to be grateful today. Amen. Find a reason to be grateful. No matter what happens in life, if you've got the right attitude, let me tell you, no matter what happens, you can find the good. We can see the sunshine even when it's cloudy. We can have joy even when things don't go our way. And let me tell you, there's power in thanksgiving. I said there's power in thanksgiving. In Jonah chapter 2 verse 9, Jonah said, I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Jonah said that while he was in the belly of the big fish. And he got himself there. By running up, God told him to go to Nineveh. He went the opposite way. He got on a ship. And a big storm came, nearly drowned, nearly destroyed the ship. And they said, there's someone on this boat causing problems. And Jonah said, it's me. They threw him overboard. And he landed up in the, being swallowed by a great fish. God protected him. And he's in the belly of the great fish. And he says, I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will give thanks to you. And what happened? God supernaturally delivered him. God caused that great fish to deposit Jonah on the beach at Nineveh. He walked out. I would have loved to see that. Wouldn't you? I would have loved to see that. I would have loved to see this. Got to be a whale. Come up and spit Jonah out. Him walk out of the fish on the beach and went and preached, and there was a revival in Cross Nineveh. How about in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? It says, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness. And as they went out, and the head of the army saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." What happened is King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah, one day they woke up and they were surrounded by three armies. They came to destroy them, to wipe them out. And they were outnumbered. I mean, there was no way they could win. Three armies gathered against this one tribe of Israel called Judah. And it was impossible. It looked like there was no way. But what did they do? The Bible says they went out, they put the singers, they put the musicians at the front of the army, and they went marching into battle. "Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good." They went singing, they went giving God thanks, giving God praise. And the Bible says the moment they began to sing, God turned, set ambushes against the enemy. The enemies became confused. And the enemies began fighting one another until they destroyed one another completely. There wasn't one of the enemy left standing. Every one of the enemy was killed. And the people of Judah didn't even have to lift the sword. Their enemy destroyed one another. And it happened when they started thanking God and when they started praising God in a situation that looked impossible. Instead of complaining, instead of getting negative, they said, "Thanks, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever." See, the Bible says in Psalm 50, in verse 23, "Those who sacrifice thank offerings honor me, and I will show them my salvation." See, God promises that he will deliver and he will save all those who offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Those who offer a sacrifice of praise, I will deliver them. I will save them. In fact, in Jeremiah 33, it says, "When you bring thank offerings into God's temple, I'll restore everything that was lost in the land. I'll make everything as good as new." I, God, say so. God says, if you will bring thank offerings into my temple, I will restore everything that was lost. I'll make everything as good as new. And in fact, the Amplified Bible says it like this: "I will cause the captivity of the land to be reversed." What this is telling us is if you will thank, you see, there's one thing to be thankful for what God has done. But it's another thing to be thankful for what you believe God's going to do.
Amen.
To give him thanks in advance, family. That's what it's saying. If you will thank God in advance, even when you don't see anything good happening, even when it looks impossible, even when you're surrounded by an enemy, you don't see any way out. God says, if you'll give me thanks, I will reverse that negative situation. I will restore what should have been yours. Family, we must be thankful for what God has done. But we must also thank him in advance for what we believe God is going to do in our future. Can you say amen?
Amen. Amen?
Instead of complaining, rather say, "Lord, I want to thank you that even though I don't see how this could change, I thank you that you make a way even when I don't see a way. I thank you, Lord, that the answer is on the way. I want to thank you, Lord, that you are meeting all of my needs. I want to thank you, Lord, that healing is coming. I want to thank you, Lord, that you're turning this problem around. I want to thank you that my children will fulfill their destiny. I want to thank you, Lord, for restoring what the enemy has stolen and reversing what the enemy has done in my life. I want to give you thanks, Lord, before I even see it. I want to thank you in faith." Let me tell you, that really gets God's attention. If you live like that, you might as well get ready. Because God is going to reverse and God is going to restore. God's going to reverse finances that were going down. He's going to reverse a business that was slow. He's going to reverse a bad medical report. He's going to reverse that legal situation. Not only that, God's going to restore what should have been yours. He's going to restore the years you've lost because somebody did you wrong. Let me tell you, praise and thanksgiving causes God to go to work in your life. Praise and thanksgiving breaks chains that are holding you back. Praise and thanksgiving opens supernatural doors. Praise and thanksgiving causes things to fall into place, family. Some of you, you've prayed about that situation long enough. Now you've got to switch over into thanksgiving. You've got to get up every day And you've got to declare, Father, I thank you that my dreams are coming to pass. Father, I thank you that my victory is on the way. I want to thank you that the breakthrough is all around the corner. I want to thank you my promotion is on the way. I want to thank you, Lord, and I want to praise you. The Bible says in Philippians 4 verse 6, be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
Tell your neighbor, don't be anxious
about anything.
God does not want you to be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. With what?
Thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So the Bible says, don't be anxious. Don't worry. But let, through prayer, ask God for what you need. And do it with thanksgiving. You know, even when Jesus was on the earth, he thanked his heavenly Father for the answer before it came. He thanked God in advance. When his friend Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and they called him, and Jesus came, and Jesus stood at Lazarus's tomb, and he looked up to heaven. You know what Jesus said? In John 11, verse 41, Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I want to thank you, Father, that you heard me. You've got to understand, Jesus said that while Lazarus was still dead. Lazarus was still in the tomb. Yet Jesus was thanking his heavenly Father that he was alive. If Jesus thought it was important enough to thank God before the answer came, family, then how much more important is it not for us to give God thanks, to give God praise before we see the answer?
Yeah. Amen.
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 We should get in the habit of not just asking God, not just making our request known. You should do that, but take it one step further and start thanking God in advance, even when you don't see any sign of it happening. My prayer this morning is that we would have a spirit of thankfulness, that we would always focus on the good, that we wouldn't take things for granted, that we would treat each day as unique and irreplaceable. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice. And I will be glad that we would remember that life is fragile, that every day is a gift, that we are make the most of it. Lord, teach us to number our days. Don't take people for granted. Don't go around focused on what's wrong, but find a reason to be thankful. Because remember, the seeds of discouragement can never take root in a thankful heart. Amen?
Amen.
If you'll get up every day and thank God for that day, and then go out with a grateful attitude, always focused on the good. Let me tell you, you will live a happy life. You will rise higher and higher. And I believe you will live the life of victory that God has in store for you in the name of Jesus. Do you receive this today?
Yeah.
Do you believe this today? Give the Lord thanks and praise. I would like to ask you, it's still early. We're not finished. We didn't set this whole place up to go home now, family. I want to thank our volunteers, man. I want to thank our setup team. We're here at 6:30 this morning. Give them a big round of applause. I'm thankful for our setup team. I'm thankful for our media team. I'm thankful for Chester, our sound engineer. I'm thankful for our musicians and singers. I'm thankful for our ushers. I'm thankful for our children's church workers and teachers that are teaching our kids right now. I'm thankful for our greeters. I'm thankful for every person in this church that helps us to fulfill the vision that God has given us. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful that you're here today. I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful for what God has done in my life. And I'm thankful for what He's going to do in the future. And I determine I'm going to live a life of thankfulness. How about you? I'm going to live thankful. I want to ask you, we're not finished the service. I've got some exciting things that I want to tell you. We're going to give away some things this morning. But why don't we stand and give and sing a song and thank God. What do you say this morning? Some of you missed some of the praise this morning, so here's your chance to, we're going to give God thanks. We're going to worship him. Come on, man. Lift your hands to heaven this morning. Say, Lord, I'm thankful. Come on, say, Lord, I'm thankful that you are good. I'm thankful for your mercy. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for your blessings in my life. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful, Lord, for my job. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my needs. Lord, thank you for giving me the victory in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's sing, Monique. Let's sing that song. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Let's worship him, family. Lift your voice. Lift your hands. We're going to sing it to him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful for Monique. I'm thankful for how you sing. You can sing, Lord. Thank you.
You've given me life, you are.
You had something from the Lord? Come and share that.
I believe since it's Thanksgiving, and we know that we are supposed to dine at the wedding feast of the Lamb, I had a dream a couple weeks ago. The sliding glass door to our house was open, and I was laying across the threshold, and the threshold's very important. And Jerry walked past, and I noticed that our dining room We'd been robbed. The dining room table was gone. So I awakened to him and I said, "Honey, we've been stolen from." And I remembered this scripture where the woman went to Jesus and asked for something, and Jesus said to her, "But you're not one of mine." And she said, "But even the dogs eat from the master's table." And he gave her what she requested. So we, in prayer, through something that we had opened the door to, had allowed us to be robbed. And as we prayed together as husband and wife, we closed the door and put the blood of Jesus on the threshold, on the doorpost, and declared that we would not be robbed from any longer from the enemy. So I believe that there's people here today been experiencing things that they really didn't know why, but there is something that had been happened where there was a door that had been opened. And I believe as we pray today, and God will reveal to you what that is, and then you just repent of it, you close the door, you place the blood of Jesus on the door, and you enjoy dining at the wedding feast of the Lamb with your precious, precious bridegroom, because we are dressed in white and he is yearning for us, and the whole of the throne room is excited for when the bride will visit her bridegroom, not on the day the trumpet sounds, but right now when you go to him in the secret place, you are clean before him, and therefore we will not be robbed anymore. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Pray for the church.
Let's all join hands.
Yes,
let's do this in unity.
Let me pray for you this morning.
Yes. Now, let's cross the aisles. It's a good thing. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, yes, we come boldly before your throne of grace this morning. Father God, we are entering into that holy place, that secret place before you, that precious, holy, holy place before your throne room, Lord. Father God, where there have been open doors, we decree and we declare that those doors are closed now and forever. And any demonic thing that would try to reopen it, Jesus, you, by your blood, that we put and we apply to the doorpost of our hearts and our homes and our families and our church and our city and our county and our state and our nation. Let the blood of Jesus Christ rise in this nation, Father. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that speaks to us in the night, Lord. We thank you that our ears will be open to hear you, Holy Spirit, as you are guiding and directing us. Father, we repent for you, in front of you, for those hidden sins, that Holy Spirit, you are the one that convicts of sin, that we are standing before you clean and holy before you, because you are calling us and wooing us to yourself. Let us respond, and we love you, Jesus. We thank you for that precious blood over the doorpost, Lord, that remains. We are grateful that we dine at your table. We will not be robbed any longer. And we give you glory in this place. We give you glory, Lord, for you are a holy, holy, holy God. We worship you, Lord.
Yes.
Give you glory.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Give God thanks for God's praise. Praise you, Lord. Standing if you would for a moment. going to ask everyone to be standing just for a minute. And I'm going to ask you to bow your head for a moment. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. Don't hold hands. While we're standing here with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to pray, especially this morning, I want to pray for anyone that is here. And you say, Pastor Steve, you know, I'm really not sure where I stand with God today. I'm really not sure if all is right, if all is well between me and the Lord. Listen, I want to ask you a question. The most important question you'll ever be asked in your life. And here's the question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain, you know without any doubt, that you would go to heaven? You're absolutely sure about it, or would you have to be honest and say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church, but I'm not sure. Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not asking you if you believe in God. I'm asking you if you died today, can you say you know for sure that heaven is where you would spend eternity? Because the good news is you can know that for sure. You can be certain of that. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that everything is right, everything is well between you and God, that every sin, every mistake you've ever committed in your life, it's forgiven and it's washed away. You can walk out of here this morning knowing that all is right between you and God. And that when you die, heaven is where you will spend all of eternity. Listen, dear friend, heaven is real. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to come out and stand in the front. But right where you are, while heads are bowed, while eyes are closed, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. Because I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure that everything is right and everything is well between me and God. Pray for me. If that's you, I want you quickly right now, just lift your hand up high. Just lift up your hand. Say, here's my hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, then you're included in this prayer. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Just lift it up high. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. That is wonderful. I want everyone who lifted your hand up, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to ask you, please say this prayer from your heart. And in fact, I'm going to ask everybody, the whole church, to say this prayer together with them. So everybody together, say this. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth for me, to die on a cross, to take my sins, to take my punishment. Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I confess with my mouth, He is Lord, you said I will be saved. So I do this today. I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. Save me, Lord. I believe you've been raised from the dead, and I confess you are Lord of my life. From today, I'm going to live for you. I'm going to follow you. Say this, say, Lord, I thank you. Because I have received you, I am now saved. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. God, you're my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And everybody said amen to God. Thanks for praying. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to be seated for a moment. If you would, be seated for a moment. We're almost finished. But I know you hate that because I know you don't want to leave. But if you lifted your hand up this morning to pray that prayer, I want to ask you, please, when the service ends in a few minutes, would you just stay in your seat? Because we have workers, we have counselors in our church. They saw you lift your hand up. They're going to come to you. We have a gift we want to give you. It's a couple of things we want to give you. So just stay in your seat. They'll come to you. They won't keep you long. Just a couple of minutes. We have something we want to give you. So thank you for doing that. Amen. I'm going to do the offering, man.
Thanks for telling me.
Thank you. You know, as I was thinking about Thanksgiving and what I preached on this morning of living thankful, how many thankful here this morning?
Amen.
How many going to stay thankful here this morning?
Amen.
I thought about the fact that, you know, if you're thankful, it shows. And one way we show our thankfulness to God is by lifting our voice and singing and praising Him, entering into His gates with thanksgiving is one way. But another way you can show your thankfulness to God, do you know that offering time is a time that you show your thankfulness to God? And all the givers said, amen.
Amen.
In Leviticus 22, verse 29, it says, when you bring a thanksgiving offering to the Lord, sacrifice it properly so it will be accepted. The Bible talks about bringing a thanksgiving offering. Lord, I bring this offering because I'm so thankful for what you've done in my life. How many of you know that money cannot buy the blessings of God? I said, how many of you know money cannot buy salvation? But you know what money can do? Money can help extend the kingdom of God so that other people can receive the blessings of God like you have. Money is a way of expressing, Lord, I'm so appreciative of what you've done in my life. In fact, if you read, and when we tithe, that's what we do. Go to the scripture that Pastor Jill gave you from Deuteronomy, I think it's 26. Look what it says. This was the instruction God gave the people of Israel. He said, when you come into the land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance and possess it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the soil which you have harvested from the land the Lord your God has given you and put it in a basket and go to the place, the sanctuary, that means the church, which the Lord your God has chosen as the abiding place for his name and his presence. And he says, and you shall go to the priest who is in office in those days and say to him, I give thanks this day. Say, I give thanks. When you bring your offering, go and say, I give thanks this day to the Lord your God that I have come to the land which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. Now listen, in the Old Testament, they went to the priest. And they gave their tithe to the priest. And the priest offered it before God. But today, how many of you know that Jesus is our high priest? How many of you know that when we bring our tithe, we offer it directly to our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus, I thank you for all that you've done in my life. I thank you, Lord, that you've delivered me from the kingdom of darkness and you've translated me into the kingdom of the Son of your love. You've rescued me. Lord, I'm bringing this tithe, this offering, because I am thankful to you for all you've done in my life. Amen. God teaches them to thank Him and worship Him because God brought them out of bondage and brought them into freedom. You know, that's what we're doing today. I want to encourage you, as you give, do so with an attitude of thankfulness. I am so thankful to God for what He's done in my life. How many of you are thankful to God? How many of you are going to be thankful God has done something good for you, right? That's right. As you tithe. Tithing is a way you show your thankfulness to God. Tithing is where you bring 10% of your income and you bring it into the house of God. Someone said, Pastor Steve, 10%? What? 10%? This is what? And let me tell you, every instruction from God has a blessing attached to it. One thing I found out, you can never outgive God. He's the ultimate giver. I started tithing when I was 17. And I'm 52. So that's 35 years, right? 35 years ago, I started tithing. My first paycheck was $400. And I brought $40. And I said, Lord, I want to thank you for your blessings. I want to thank you for this job. I want to thank you for saving me. And do you know that as I began tithing at 17, God has blessed me far more than what I've ever given to Him. God has given far more back to me. And I'm talking, I mean, of course, in many ways. But I mean financially. God has blessed me financially. God has prospered me. God has blessed us. Tithing works. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. How many of you know tithing works? Right, Michael? Tithing works. The Bible says when you bring the tithe into the storehouse, that God opens the windows of heaven and he pours blessings upon you, and he rebukes the devourer. He protects you. We taught our children to tithe with their pocket money. Do you call it pocket money? Allowance. Allowance. We taught, they tithe in their allowance. And now all of our kids, all serving God, all grown, and all tithers, and all givers, so generous, and we see God's blessing on our children. See, it's not just important for you to tithe for yourself, but this is something that you do for your children, for your family, for those who, it's a legacy is what I'm talking about. Can you say amen?
Amen.
How many of you ready to give this morning? How many of you ready to tithe? How many ready to give to God? If you're ready, say I'm ready. Say I'm thankful.
To give to God.
I want you to hold that in your hand. We're going to pray. What happened to our screen? Did it go out? What happened? It went out? We need it. I've got a video I'm going to show. Well, let me know when it's on. Let me know when we're back. Dan, do we have those cards? Where's Dan? The invites. I need them. All right. As you know, we usually have it on the screen. There's various ways of giving. You can give by cash, by check, by credit card. You can give by texting. You can give online. There's a number of ways of giving. But hold it in your hand and say this. Say, Lord, I thank you that you have redeemed me. You have rescued me. You have saved me. You have delivered me. Lord, I thank you for your blessings in my life. You have protected me. You have provided for me. Lord, I thank you that all good things in my life, every good thing comes from you. Every good gift comes from the Father above. Say this, say, Lord, as I bring this tithe, this offering, I am thankful for your goodness in my life and for your faithfulness. Say, thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my needs. Thank you, Lord, for rebuking the devourer for me. Thank you, Lord, for your angels that protect me. Thank you, Lord, for leading me into victory. Thank you, Lord, for opening new doors of opportunity. Say, thank you, Lord, for bringing breakthrough in my life, for bringing increase in my life. I give you thanks. I give to you today with a thankful heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, stand ready if you would. Couple of things I need to mention. Let me know when we're ready to do to give out those Thanksgiving baskets. Is Dan back yet? Call him, please. I am standing and waiting on him. Next Sunday, I'm excited. We are having a soul-winning class right after service. Well, not right after service. Excuse me. We're gonna take a little break so you can maybe go and get something to eat. At 1:30, we're gonna come back. And we're going to have a 1-hour class. And Amy, that is Diane's daughter, Amy Cunningham, who used to be part of the worship team. She's over in Bible College, her and her sister, at Bible College in Tampa. And they are so on fire for the Lord. Amy was sharing with me a couple of weeks when she was back here, how that her and Amanda, and now her sister Amanda is very shy. Amy's a little more bold, but Amanda's very shy, right? And Amanda went out and got on a bus and preached everybody on the bus. And they led 100 people to the Lord in one day. And they're fired up. Now, how many of you know that we're called to make disciples? How many of you know the Bible says go into all the world and make disciples? The Bible says make disciples. That's what God has called us to do. The reason why a lot of people are not making disciples or not winning or lost is because they don't know how. So we don't want to just tell you what to do. We want to help you and show you how. So Amy's going to, next Sunday after church at 1:30, she's going to do a quick 1 hour, it won't be that long, there's some organizing, probably 30 minute class. We're going to give you each a script. You'll have a script that you follow. And let me tell you, you're going to learn how to win souls. Do you know that there is no greater joy that you can ever experience than the joy of leading someone to Christ? There's nothing that can compare. Do you know when you win someone to the Lord, do you know that it does more for you? It seems to do more for you than it does for them. There is such a joy and excitement that comes from winning souls. The Bible says he that wins souls is wise. Say this, God has called me to win souls. We're all called to win souls, family. The only thing you can take to heaven is people. And sometimes we also focus on our jobs, and that's good to work hard, but sometimes I feel like we've got to live with an eternal mindset, and we don't. So often we're so focused on our jobs and what we're going to do, we give all our attention to that. Listen, none of that's going to matter when you leave this life. It's not going to matter. What's going to matter is, what did you do for the kingdom of God? What's going to matter is, who did you reach for Jesus? When you get up to heaven, those people are going to say, thank you that you went on that soul winning class and you went out in the Wyndham, and you, because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in heaven if it wasn't for you. So I want to encourage you to please, this is a free class, to sign up, even if you feel shy. The first time that I went out on the street with my dad, witnessing, my knees were having fellowship together. I was really nervous about it. But let me tell you right now, I overcame that. And even though you feel shy, let me tell you, the Bible says that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be my witnesses. You've got the power of the Holy Spirit to enable you, to anoint you, to equip you, to empower you. When you open your mouth, you'll just be amazed what comes out. We're going to teach you. We're going to give you the script. I'd love to see all of you at that class next week. We want you to go and have lunch. Come back at 1:30. And then by 2:15, 2:30, we're going to go out into Harvest. We're going to go out in teams of two or three. And we are going to show you how to witness, how to win souls. What say ye?
Amen.
What do you say?
Amen.
Dan, please make sure the ushers have those. I want everyone to have five of those cards today. Hand them down the aisles now. Now, if you would like to sign up for the soul winning class, I want you to just fill out this card so we can know how many people to prepare for. There's some papers and things we need to know how many prepare for. How many want to come next week to the soul winning class? Let me see your hand. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. Tony, you put it up high. I could have to see your hand. I'm going to do a count. I'm doing a count. So if you're going to put your hand up, put it up now. Okay?
Put it up.
Tell your neighbor, put it up. Put it up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 30. That is awesome. 31 people are going to go out next week. That's wonderful. 31 people. Make sure, ushers, they need one of these cards. If you raised your hand, raise it up again. Ushers, get everyone one of these cards right now. If you lifted up your hand, all 31 of you, don't change your mind. Put it up again. Help me, Miguel. Help us, everybody. Help us, Tom. Come on, we need some help back there. Barrington, help us. Help them, if you would. Hand out these cards. I want everyone to have one. We'll do that right now. Come on, ushers. Are you ready? You got the cards? You're handing them out? Keep your hand up till you get one. We just need your name, your cell phone, and your email. That's all we need. Tony and Jim, I want to ask you to help me. Please grab some of these cards that we just got. Dan just got. And hand them at the end of the aisles. Give everyone. Hand them down. Five for every person of these invite cards. Ushers, you can go ahead with the offering today. Go ahead with the offering. Man, that's exciting to me, man. 31 soul winners next Sunday. That's going to be great. Amen. I want to encourage you, if you haven't got your ticket for the Christmas dinner, on Monday, December the 12th, we're having a Christmas dinner. We'd love you to be there. Say Monday. Because some people, I feel like they're gone, they're checked out here this morning. Monday, December the 12th, we're going to have our Christmas dinner. It's going to be at Borgabansky's restaurant called Barola. Did I say that right? I'm close. Barola. Ristorante, amazing restaurant on the US 1 in North Palm Beach. They're doing an amazing deal for us. Anthony's the general manager. They've done a fantastic deal, four-course meal, $35. We'd love you to be there. We're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have music. We're going to have fun. Get your ticket at the book table. We have limited spaces. Don't leave it till the last minute. Please go and get your ticket before you go home. We would love for you to be there. And then I have one last thing I have to do. And I want to hand out those baskets. Have you made a decision? Have we got it? Are we ready? Are we ready? Now, family, everyone, did you receive the 23 minutes in hell card? Did everyone get the 23 minutes in hell card? Looks like this. Help, James, help me, please. I want everyone to have five of these cards. Hand them out. Five of these cards. Don't be stingy, be generous. Five of these cards. On December the 4th, we have Bill Weiss. Bill Weiss is a friend of mine, become a very good friend. He wrote the New York Times best-selling book, 23 Minutes in Hell. The Lord took him to hell and showed him hell. He had an out-of-body experience for 23 minutes. And he wrote this book. He wasn't a preacher, he was a real realtor. And the book became a New York Times bestseller. Now he travels the nation, the world, really telling his story. And thousands of people are giving their life to Christ. Now listen, give me your attention for 1 minute longer. Let me have your attention for 1 minute longer. How many of you know that hell is real? And heaven is real. Hell is real. Bill went, the Lord took Bill to hell. And those 23 minutes changed his life. He wrote the book 23 Minutes in Hell after researching and finding scriptures for everything that he saw. And Bill left his real estate business. He was making $500,000 a year in real estate. He was very successful. And he left it to go and travel at his own expense and travel telling the story. Because listen to me, if you see hell, you will not be able to keep silent about it. If you see hell, you will want to warn people. We all sit here and we say we believe in hell. But family, I've had people say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm not going to come to church this Sunday when Bill's here because I already heard his story. That's the most selfish thing I've ever heard in my life. The most selfish thing I've ever heard in my life is I've heard it, so I'm not going to be there. We're not having Bill be just for us. We're having Bill to bring people that don't know Jesus, people that are on their way to hell. Do you know the Bible says if we don't warn the people around us, their blood's going to be on our hands? Hello? I've heard Bill tell his testimony at least 10 times. And you know, every time I hear it, it's good for me. Because it reminds me of what Jesus saved me from. And it also keeps me focused on to stay faithful and to stay on the straight and narrow. Because I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Hello? And the Bible says, he that endures to the end will be saved. Not he that starts out in a blaze of glory, comes to church every Sunday, praises God, and then stops going. And I can tell you so many people that have come to this church or in my life that I've seen come to Christ on 5 years ago, and then they go back, start, they go back. I don't know about you, but I'm not going back. This is good for me to hear on a regular basis. And it's good for me to be reminded that there are people all around me that are headed to an eternal hell, and God wants to use me to reach out to them to rescue them. We're rescuers. So I'm asking you for December the 4th. Now, what's happening December the 4th, we just found out, my fault, that we're not going to have this ballroom. There's a big event taking place on that day. So what we're going to do, December the 4th, we're going to have two services. We're going to be in a smaller room, seats 150. And so we're going to do two services, 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock. 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock. Because I want to have space for you to be able to bring people. This is a soul-winning event. And the reason I've given you these cards is I want to ask you, please, to invite people to come to this service. Let's see people get saved.
Amen.
What do you say? I asked you last week, everyone got one of these cards. And I asked you to write down the names of people that you're going to invite. And you brought it with you, Jim. You brought it with you. You got two. I'm glad to see that, man. One, two, three, four, five, six. Six names written down in there. You're inviting all those people. I want to make sure if you didn't get this card, Will you write down the names of the people? I want you to please make sure, ushers, that everyone has one of these cards. When you go into the lobby, Jim, when you look in the lobby, on the table, there's a big black board that says 23 minutes in hell. You need to take that card and stick it on that board. Because next Sunday, we're going to pray for all the names of the people that are on that board. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for them that they'll come. We're going to pray that they'll be saved. We're going to pray for them. So will you please, I saw there's not one card on that board when I came in today. But I believe when I go out, there's going to be cards on that board. I want you to take these cards. There's a number of them by the board. If you don't have one, raise your hand. Ushers, get these cards to people. I want you to write down the names of... There's something that happens when you write down the names of people. There's something that happens when you make a determination. You know what? You do this in the Kiani business. You sit and you make a list of who you're going to invite. That's what this is about. Write down a list of who you're going to invite and put those cards on that board, and we're going to pray that they will come and that they will be saved. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when one person comes to Christ. Let's let heaven do some rejoicing next Sunday on December the 4th. Let's see a multitude of people get saved. What do you say?
Amen.
And you know what's so great? Is next week when we do the soul winning class, and we go out into the harborside, you're going to be able to have these invitation cards and invite people. And I know it's kind of dramatic, 23 minutes in hell, but I want to get people's attention. Listen, folks, hell is real. Jesus spoke about hell 42 times. 42 times Jesus mentioned hell. Hell is real. It's a literal place of torment, and God never created it for us. It's created for the devil and his demons. But people are going to go to hell if we don't tell them, if we don't warn them, if they don't give their life to Jesus. God's counting on you and me, family, to reach out to the people around us. Will you do it?
Amen.
I say, will you do it?
Amen.
2 weeks' time. Next Sunday, we're doing the soul winning class. And then the following Sunday, 2 weeks from now, Dorwis is here. We have two services, 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock. Take those cards. Invite as many people as you can. Let's see people get saved. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Let's give away those baskets.
Get those baskets.
Can I ask someone to help us? Moises, Ray, Prudential. Can you bring, are we going to bring them inside?
Yeah, bring one.
Bring them inside. Come on, bring them inside.
And these, I didn't pick these names. These were other people randomly got their numbers. But let's start with that one. Wendy Hayton.
Where's Wendy?
She in Kids Church.
Is Wendy in Children's Church?
Yeah, she put her name down. She's in. We gave them a chance.
Can someone go grab Wendy for us? Who knows Wendy? There you are. Come on, Wendy. We have a basket for you.
Cassandra Jackson.
Cassandra Jackson, where are you at?
There she is.
Come on, Cassandra. We have a turkey for you,
so
too.
So you just wait in the lobby afterwards. James will give you a turkey that goes along with it. Cassandra?
Bless you. Cassandra, bless you. Bless you. Wonderful.
Samantha Barber.
Samantha, where are you?
She had you. Okay, Samantha's keep it aside.
Where is Samantha?
She just had to run out, but she came back.
Okay.
My goodness, who's going to be last? And Monique Blood. It's heavy. Thank you, Brenda, for the blessing. So much in there. And the last one on here is the Robles family.
We got one more?
Yeah.
I want to give it, okay?
Yes.
Is this for you?
Yes.
Is this for you?
Here you, this is for you. Praise the Lord. We have one there. Tarasha. Tasha? Teresa? I want to give this to you. I want to give this to you. That one. That's what's the matter. forget to get your turkey. They're in the freezer. Thank you, Brenda. Praise God. Are you thankful? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Have an awesome week. Have an awesome Thanksgiving. Get your tickets for the dinner. God bless everybody.
Hi. I saw you raise your hand.
I'm getting texted. certainly.
Awesome.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Basketball.